Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. We begin with a note that in our previous shiur, mention had been made concerning the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. This you can see the second line from the top. There's a dotted underline name where we had a Tanaic source that said that Rebbe Elazar followed the opinion of Rebbe Meir that essentially holds that mashkin, that liquids, can become tomei. We are going to bring that into question as we open the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara itself, we have a note that helps us connect what we're about to learn with that which we learned our previous year. Notice the starred note he'ora ad kan. Until now, haGemara hisvira mi hu midivrayim. Who the midivrayim was a reference to. This, of course, is a reference to Rebbe Meir's comment in the Mishnah Daf Yudalid that said, "From them we learned that you can burn truma tamea, chometz truma tahora with chometz truma tamea." Umachlekes Rebbe Meir of Rebbe Yossi ba Mishnah, who we've learned who the midivrayim was, and that was part of a controversy concerning Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi in the Mishnah. Achshav haGemara maschila lahamid besugyas tumas mashkin imhu deoraisa oy derabbanan. In this sugya, we are going to be dwelling on establishing whether tumas mashkin is from the Torah or is rabbinic. We will discuss tumas atzmon, the ability of mashkin themselves to become tamei, and secondly, letamei dvar macherim, the ability of the mashkin to convey tuma to something else. In other words, if you have mashkin tameim, liquids that have become tamei, can they convey tuma onwards? So now we open the Gemara questioning the information we saw in the top source, Vesovar, and note that this is a long question. Vesovar Rebbe Elazar mashkin is lehu tuma ba'olam. Does Rebbe Elazar hold that mashkin, that liquids, can become tomei? Rashi says tuma ba'olam midoraisa. From a Torah standpoint, does Rebbe Elazar acknowledge that liquids can become tomei? Vehotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Ein Tuma Lemashkin Kol Iker. Liquids do not become Tomei whatsoever from the Torah. Teda, and let it be known, Shehare Heyid, Rebbe Yossi Ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda. Rebbe Yossi made two comments. One, Heyid means he testified. In other words, he had a tradition concerning two points. One, Al-Ayil Kamsa Dochein. Al-Kamsa is the name of a type of locust, that this kind of locust, Dochein means, is pure, meaning it's kosher. And number two, the Al-Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo Dochein. And the liquids of the Beis Mitbochayo, that literally is the slaughter area in the Beis HaMikdash, the liquids that characterize the slaughter area in the Beis HaMikdash, that includes blood and water, dochein, that they are pure. In other words, they remain tohor. Now, what we've done by way of our markings is we dash on a mashkin, dochein. So this is Rebbe Lozer speaking. Compare this point that the Mashkin are Dochein with Rebbe Lozer in the source on the top, second line from the top. Rebbe Lozer says that the Mashkin to become Tomei themselves are Tomei. That's based on Rebbe Meir, where Rebbe Lozer said like Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir's Aleph point on the top line was Mashkin Li Tomei can become Tomei. And here Rebbe Lozer is saying Mashkin Dochein. How can we resolve these sources? So the Gemara continues and says there really is no problem. According to Shmuel, who interpreted as Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer, he says dochein equals milatame tumas acherim, that the term dochein, which is an Aramaic word meaning tohor, means it's pure with regard to conveying tuma onwards to other things. That namely, mashkin cannot do that. Avol tumas asmon yesh lohen, but mashkin have the ability to themselves become tomei. Shapir, things are okay. In other words, we can then say that Rebbe Lozer will parallel Rebbe Meir at the top, that it has their own tuma, and this idea that the Rebbe Yosef ben Yoezer Yishtreda says that the Mashkin are tohor, that's as far as conveying tuma onwards. So according to Shmuel, there is no problem to begin with. Elo Rav, Diomar Dochein Mamish Maikol Meimar. But according to Rav, who interprets Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda as saying literally Tohor, no Tuma, Shaykh, there's no Tuma that's connected to Mashkin whatsoever. How do you resolve these sources, both of them featuring Rabbi Eliezer? Omar Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchok. Achado. Namely, that which was stated, notice where we have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. It said, then you parallel this star with that which you see on the third line from the top. At that point, Rebbe Lozer says Kidvarov, and he says like Rebbe Meir. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is saying, yes, he says like Rebbe Meir, only regarding one of Rebbe Meir's points. In other words, Rebbe Meir had said that Mashkin cannot communicate Tuma onwards. I agree with that. However, Rebbe Lozer goes further than Rebbe Meir and says, not only do Mashkin not communicate Tuma onwards, but they don't absorb their own Tuma either. They don't themselves become Tomei. Oh, so if that is in fact what Rebbe Lozer is saying on the top source, that Mashkin don't become Tomei, that parallels Rebbe Lozer in the second source, where he likewise is saying the Mashkin are Dochein, are Tohor. The Gemara asks, V'ha Kedvorov Komar Dinefishi, the word Kedvorov, where the star points on the third line from the top, that word indicates it's a plural connotation, namely that Rebbe Lozer holds like the words, all the points of Rebbe Meir, namely that the Mashkin do absorb their own Tuma. So according to Rav, there would be a stira in Rebbe Lozer's. V'yolid, furthermore, v'hol v'chein kotoni, it says in the source, the second line from the top, on the top source, second line from the top, it says there that v'chein Omar Rebbe Lozer, v'chein hoy Rebbe Lozer Omer. In other words, Rebbe Lozer is paralleling Rebbe Meir all the way through. So, Kashya, the Gemara says, we have a difficulty with Rav. Rav's explanation of Dochein Mamish, as far as Rebbe Lozer's comment in quoting Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer in the second source, creates a seeming inconsistency or contradiction between Rebbe Lozer in the second source and Rebbe Lozer in the top source. Gufa. Okay, the Gemara now is referring back to what was mentioned, by the way. We mentioned Mashkin Beis Mitbochaya, and we saw a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So here we're going to quote that Machlokas and involve ourselves with it much further. So on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you can see we have a note that says, Machlokis Rav Shmuel, Lafarish Divrei, Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoezer, Demashkin Beis Mitbochayo, Dochein, namely Tohor. So we're going to have a Machlokis between Rav and Shmuel in explaining Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoezer's comment concerning the Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo, the liquids found at the slaughter site in the temple courtyard, the Azorim, the Beis HaMikdash. Gufa, Rav Omar Dochein Mamish. Rav says that when Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer said that Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo Dochein, it means literally, they do not become Tomei. In other words, they have no Tuma from the Torah. Shmuel Omar Dochein means Militame Tuma Sachirim. That all the Torah is telling us is that the Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo will not communicate Tuma onwards. Aval Tumas Atzmon Yesh Lohen. But their own Tuma, that they absorb Tuma, that they can become Tomei themselves, that is the case. And now the Gemara elaborates. Rav Omar Dochein Mamish, Rav, who explained Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer holding Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo are literally Tohar, Kosovar Tumas Mashkin de Rabbonon. Rav holds that the entire principle or institution of Tumas Mashkin, that we say ever in any place that Mashkin become Tomei, that's only rabbinic. V'chigozru Rabbonon b'mashkin da'amo, and the Rabbonon, when they imposed their gezerah, they imposed it only on, in general, liquids, general situations. How uva mashkin beis mitbochayo lo gozer, but within the beis hamikdash, they did not impose the gezerah of mashkin becoming tomei. Ushmul Omar. Dochein means Milutame Tumas Achirim. That the Mashkin Beis Mitbochayo cannot communicate Tuma onwards. Once they become Tomei, they're not Metama other things. Aval Tumas Atzmon Yesh Lohen. But they themselves can become Tomei. Kosovar Shmuel is of the opinion Tumas Mashkin Atzmon Doraisa. The ability of Mashkin to absorb Tuma is a Torah. Is Torah founded? Its foundation is in the Torah. Therefore, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no room for the rabbis to be lenient and say that those mashkin don't become tomei. The Torah says they become tomei. The tamei achirim, the idea of mashkin that are tomei, passing their tuma on to something else, to be metame something else, that is rabbinic. That's the rabbonon. The chigozu rabbonon. When did the Rabbonon say that Mashkin that are Tomei can metame something else? That is outside. That's in general. Da'alma means of in general. However, B'mashkin beis mitbochayo lo gozer. However, with regard to the Mashkin found in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash, so the rabbis did not impose the gzera. V'chi lo gozer Rabbonon l'tmuya achirim. The rabbinic intervention is such that they, or worse, their lack of intervention is that they are not metama other things. Aval tumas atzmon yesh lahen, but they themselves can become tamei, and that's because the Torah itself provides for that possibility. So we have a basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel concerning the whole issue of Tumas Mashkin, do Mashkin become Tomei from the Torah? According to Rav, no. According to Shmuel, yes. As far as the ability of Mashkin to metame other things, so in that case, Shmuel says that is rabbinic, and in the Beis HaMikdash, that phenomenon does not exist. Omar le Rav Huna bar Chinuno le Brei. Rav Huna says to Brei, his son, Ki ailis le kame de Rav Papa, when you go to Rav Papa, when you visit Rav Papa, Rami le, present the following problem. Rami usually means a stira, present the following problem. Mi Omar Shmuel dochein mi le tame tumas achirim, aval tumas atzmon yesh lahen. Does Shmuel really say that they, the mashkin, have their own tumah? Krikan, if it's so that mashkin have their own tumah, that they themselves become tameh. So you would have to refer the following pasuk to that situation. Va'bosar asher yiga b'chol tameh lo ye'ochel. That means that meat, korban meat, that touches anything that is called tomei, anything that is tomei, you cannot eat that. Now let's think about this. If, as Shmuel says, mashkin can become tomei themselves, imagine korban meat touches mashkin tomeim. Well, the pasuk is saying that that korban meat you cannot eat. Is that not a function of the mashkin having been mitama the basar? So you see that mashkin does communicate tuma onwards. Omar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi. Rav Shisha says no. Just because we're calling the mashkin as being able to makabel their own tuma, that doesn't mean it's going to affect the meat. Midi dehave aravi b'kodesh, just like a fourth level tuma in the case of kochim. As we've discussed in the past, there is a hierarchy, a descending hierarchy, if you will, of tuma. You have a highest level would be a corpse, avi avosa tuma. Under that is an avatuma, and under that is a rishon, sheni, shlishi, and revi'i. The idea of a revi'i in tuma is something only applicable to sacrifices. So that if you have a sacrifice that was a third level tuma, it can, if it touches other meat, other sacrificial meat, it makes it a fourth level tuma. However, that fourth level tuma is itself posel, but it's not mitama other things. So looking at Revi B'Kodesh, we can say Mashkim Tameim have that same characteristic. Maskif Lo Rav Ashi. Revi B'Kodesh Lo Ikri Tomei. Rav Ashi says there's a difference though. Revi B'Kodesh is not called Tomei, it's called Pusel. Hai Ikri Tomei. However, Mashkin that came into contact with Tuma are called Mashkim Tameim. And since they are called Tomei, then how do you explain the pasuk that we read, Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Yutes, that we just saw a couple lines up, Boser Shiga B'chol Tomei Lo Yochel. And in other words, we see there that the mashkin that are called Tomei would have to then cause the meat to be forbidden to eat upon contact one with the other. So we see that mashkin Tomei in effect are passing on Tuma in the realm of Kochim. Kashya, so this remains a difficulty for Shmuel's position. Ta Shma. We have a triangle here, and on the side of the Gemara, we explain these triangles as being Kushyos al Rav. So we're going to quote Psukim here, and as the Gemara unfolds, we will see not only Psukim quoted, but Tanaic sources quoted as well on Omid Beis. The triangles continue down all of Omid Beis. In other words, all of Omid Beis is dedicated to raising questions on Rav. Rav said that from the Torah there is no Tumah for Mashkin. And we should focus our point a bit more. Rav was making his comment on the heels of the Tanaic source that featured Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer that said Mashkin beis mitbochaya dochen. So now let's see. Toshma v'chol mashke asher yishose v'chol kli itmo. Now it's mashma from this posuk that if you have liquids in a vessel that's tomei, the liquids become tomei, so that they have their own tuma. That's a kasha on Rav. The Gemara says no. Ma yitma. What does the word yitma mean? Hichshir. It means that mashkin are machshir things, other things to be makabel tuma. In other words, if you have, let's say, fruit, and you wash the fruit and the fruit is wet, and it comes into contact with a dead sheretz, it's only because the fruit is wet can the dead sheretz metame the fruit. That's hechsher. So the word itmo in this pasuk, it means hechsher, readying the food substance to make it susceptible to tumah absorption. But it's not a reflection on the liquid itself as it itself becoming tummy. That's not the case. The Gemara asks, Hichshir? Are you telling me this pasuk is telling me Hichshir? May Reisha the cross Shamis lay. From the first part of the pasuk, we learn that it says Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'ochel, and on v'chule asher yavo olav mayim itma. So from that pasuk, from the beginning, we learn the concept of Hichshir. The Gemara says no. Chad betlushin v'chad b'mechuborn. Both quotes are referring to hechsher, but as far as mashkin themselves becoming tamei, they do not become tamei. Now, why do I have two sources for liquids being machshir? So chad betlushin v'chad b'mechuborn. One is a reference to water that is in a cup. Tlushin means disconnected; it's not in the ground. That kind of water is machshir, and v'chad mechuborim is water that's attached to the ground, that's in the ground, as opposed to in a vessel, that mayim is also machshir. That kind of water is also capable of being machshir. There's a bracketed section. You can see it's only three lines. After the brackets, we continue with the questions on Rav, where it says, Toshma. And that will be a question, as we said, on Rav. Here, in the brackets, though, the Gemara wants to know, what do I need to tell me that both Tlushim and Mechuborin are Machshir L'Kabel Tumah? We have a little note that says this on the side where the star appears. Shimush B'Sograyim Po Uvahem Shech. These brackets and the upcoming brackets, in a couple lines from now, Noad L'Shamer Al Retzef Hatoshma. The purpose is to maintain the sense of continuity of the questions raised on Rav. And that's what we've accomplished. We demonstrated that by skipping the brackets momentarily to show how the questions continue. Binosaf, additionally, Hasograim Kan, Mevodidim Es Hatzvichuso. The secondary role of these brackets is to isolate the three lines of Gemara that deal with the tzrichusa, the necessity of having two sources describing two types of waters as being machshir. Achrei sugrayim, haGemara mamshicha im hatoshma, after the brackets, as we said, the Gemara will continue with the questions on Rav. Rav, who had said that mashkin, liquids, as far as the Torah is concerned, do not become tomei. Now the brackets, utzrichi. I need to have sources, two sources, regarding water and its hechsher capacity. One source dealing with tlushin, and the other with mechuborin. The e ashmeinen betlushin, had we been informed that mayim tlushim is machshir, mishum dach shevinu. It's because by drawing the water, you've imposed significance. Achshvinu means importance or significance to those waters. Hence, they are machshir. They create the preparedness or readiness of food to make food susceptible to absorbing tumah. Avol mechuborin emolo, but water that hasn't been drawn, so maybe it doesn't have enough significance. I haven't demonstrated that I consider the water of any importance, and therefore it doesn't have the ability to machshir. V'itana mechuborin, had we taught only concerning mechuborin as being machshir, mishum dekaimi b'duchtayu chashivi, because they're in their duchtayu, in their place, they're in their original place, they haven't been tampered with, so to speak. So that is what gives them chashivus. Avo mechuborin, water that's been disconnected from its source, Amolo, maybe Avol Tlushin Amolo, but so that was just become disconnected. It's not in its original location. Maybe it loses significance that way. So, Tzrichi, therefore, I have to tell you, that's not the case, but Tlushim as well are Machshir. Toshma, once again, we quote a Pasuk from which we'll see initially what appears to be a question on Rav. From the Pasuk, we're expected to see that Mashkin have the ability to absorb Tumah from the Torah standpoint. The Pasuk says, Ach Mayon Ubor Mikvemayim Yetohor. The Pasuk is describing water that's found in a spring or in a well, in a pool that are attached to the ground. Those waters are tohar. From that we can easily infer, however, if they were disconnected, they would become tome. They're susceptible to becoming themselves tome. That would be Akasha on Rav, because Rav says that Mashkin are Tohor. The Gemara says, Ma Yetohor? What does Yetohor in the Pasuk we just read mean? Mi Tum Osoi. It's a reference not to the water, but it's a reference to the person that immerses himself in the water. That he who immerses himself in a mikveh, he will become Tohor. You'll notice, as we said, we again have the bracketed section. Note, use here the bracket length indicator. You see it takes you down more than a quarter of the way down from the top of Omid Beis. Following the brackets, you see again a triangle, and that will introduce a Tanaic source, and there are quite a few that follow after that. All of these are kashis directed against Rav. That having been said, we now go to the bracketed section, and you see the question will be clear. We have a little arrow on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and that is pointing to the line that had said that Mayim Tlushim are Machshir LeKabel Tuma. We're going to ask about that. Utlushin Mi Machshirin? Does water that is drawn, disconnected from its source, if it gets onto fruits, will it really prepare the fruits or make the fruits susceptible for tumah absorption? V'omar Rabbi Yosi bar Rav Chanina, mashkin beis mitbochaya, the liquids of the found in the azara, found specifically at the slaughter site. Lo dayon shehein dochein, elo shehein machshir. Not only lo dayon means not only are they dochein, are they tumah resistant? Not only that, but they are not machshir. Well, that by saying that we're upsetting the answer we gave before on behalf of Rav. We had to say above that the Mayim Tlushin are Machshir in order to preserve Shitas Rav, who said that the liquids themselves are not Mekabel Tuma, and the reference made in the Pasuk to Tuma was in the sense that they are Machshir. But here we're bringing that into question. Tirgima Al Dam. In other words, that which Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina just said, that Mashkin Beis Mitbochaya are not machshir, that's a reference to the blood found there. At the Mitbochaya, the base HaMikdash slaughter site, there was water and blood. Water was found. Water was used for washing off the sacrifices, the innards of the sacrifices, and blood, that's obvious. So we're explaining that the idea that Mashkin Beis Mitbochaya are not machshir, that's only referring to blood. But as far as the water is concerned, that is machshir, hence preserving Rav's original answer. Now, as far as the blood is concerned, here the Gemara gets into the details of the blood. But the basic answer defend Rav has been given. The Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Abo, Omar Rav Yochanan, Minayin Ledam Kodshim She'eino Machshir. From where do you know that the blood of sacrifices is not Machshir? Shinemar. The Pasuk says, Al Oretz Tishbuchenu Kemayim. That's a Pasuk referring to blood of things you slaughter. And we say as follows. And the Pasuk is saying that it's a warning against don't eat blood of things you slaughter, but rather let it spill to the ground like water. And we learn, Dam shenishbach kemayim machshir. Because of the juxtaposition of blood with water in this Pasuk, we say that that kind of blood that spills groundwards like water, like you spill it out like you would spill out some water, that's machshir. However, dam she'eino nishbach kamayim eino machshir. However, blood that's not spilled out like water, and what kind of blood is that? The dam of kodshim. Because when you slaughter a sacrifice, you don't spill out the blood. You collect the blood in order to bring it to the altar for its blood applications. So, dam kodshim is not machshir because it doesn't conform to the pasuk that parallels what kind of dam would be machshir if it's similar to water. That kind of blood that you simply spill out. That's the dam of common slaughterings. The Gemara asks, Maskif law, and we're at the top line of Omid Beis, so Maskif law, Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, he asks, Hare dam hatamsis, the nishbach kemayim ve'eno machshir. Dam hatamsis is a reference to blood that's not fit for sprinkling on the mizbeach. It's what is the blood that we collect? We made reference to our collecting of sacrificial blood. That's blood that's called dam shanishoma yotzebo. Blood, we'll call it life blood. It's the blood that issues forth from the slaughtering, at which point the animal's life departs. As far as the details, how do you establish that? That is discussed more in Maseches Krisus. In fact, there's certain coloration changes as the blood is flowing out of the animal's body. But dam hatamsis, that's not used. As we say, that's blood other than the lifeblood. That is not sprinkled. It is something you would spill out. And yet, it's not machshir. Rashi says at the top, dam hatamsis eino roi lizrika. It's not fit for the altar applications. Defiv ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper. That's the pasuk that describes the blood as a means of atonement. Dam shanefesh yotzeboi mechaper. Blood that is characteristic of life departure. That's used for atonement. V'shein hanefesh yotzebo, blood that is something other than the life blood having gone out. In other words, there's after the life blood has left the animal, there's still more blood that flows out. That's the dam hatamsis. Eino mechaper. It doesn't atone. Alma nishbach kamayim. If it's not atoning, so it's something you would spill out like water. Eino machshir. Yet it's not machshir. Kidder Rebbe Yossi Bar Hanino. Rebbe Yossi Bar Hanino mentioned that Mashkin Beis Mitbochaya are not machshir. And the blood that you find at the slaughter site is obviously not the lifeblood. That's collected in a vessel for bringing to the altar. The other blood that's there at the Mashkin Beis Mitbochaya, that is Dam Hatansis. And he said it's not machshir. So how do you explain yourself when saying that dam shenishbach kamayim is machshir, when here we have an example of dam shenishbach kamayim, namely the dam hatamsis, and it's not machshir? Omalei Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira answers Rav Shmuel Bar Ami and says, Hanoch means leave aside. Hanoch l'dama tamsis. Don't ask from that. Leave it aside. The afilu bechulin nami lo machshir. Even outside the base hamikdash, dam hatamsis is not machshir. Kibla mine Rav Shmuel bar Ami. Rav Shmuel bar Ami is the one that originally asked the question. So the Gemara says he accepted this answer. The Omar Rachmona, the pasuk says Rak Chazak levilti achol adam ki adam hu hanefesh. Dam shanefesh yotzeboi korui dam. What is considered blood in the first place? What is legally characterized as blood? And here, once again, we've said this many times in our Gemara markings shiurim, that it's extremely important to disconnect from the need for literal translations of things. Rather, in learning Gemara, one has to train himself to deal with concepts. So here we're dealing with the, we'll call it the concept of dam, in the context of Hechsher. So the pasuk we just read was a warning to the Jewish people not to consume blood, because blood is the life breath of the animal. But from this we darshan, dam shanefesh yotzei b'korei dam. It's that blood we call the life blood of the animal that is called blood, and hence it's also called a mashke. The pasuk says dam chalolim yishte. And from that pasuk we learn that blood is called a mashke, and only mashkim are machshir for kabbalas tuma. However, dam she'ein hanefesh yotzei bo eino kori dam. Blood that exits the animal, but its life has already departed. This is the dam hatamsis. It's not even called blood. It's not called dam with all of its halachic ramifications. Hence, it's the dam hatamsis is not called dam. It's also therefore not a mashke. And if it's not a mashke, therefore it cannot be machshir. However, to make things clear, the original problem that was raised on Shitas Rav, when we brought into question the issue of the Tlushim as seemingly not being Machshir, so we answered, that is true with regard to blood. But as far as water is concerned, water that's Tolush, as well as water that's Mechubar, is Machshir, thereby preserving the answer we gave before on behalf of Rav. The just to review the structure of the last section of Gemara, and as one, the Gemara said the second line from the bottom, Tirgamo al dam, at that point we preserve Shitas Rav. And the ensuing Gemara was evaluating that particular answer, where the question was focused on the issue of the blood. After all said and done, the answer that we gave for Rav is a good answer. Hence, we go on in the Gemara with a new question. Ta Shema. We have a Tanaic source. It says, Dam Shinitma Vizorkoi B'shogeg Hurtza B'mezid Lo Hurtza. Rashi elaborates on this sukya and the upcoming sources as well, giving you a lot of background. But in the context of our Gemara markings shiur, we want to focus on the main point of this discussion, and that is, are mashkin mekabel tuma or not? So we have a source here that says that blood that became tome, it can be used for sprinkling on the mizbeach. We're talking about blood of korbanos. It can be used for sprinkling on the mizbeach. If it's b'shogeg, then hurtza. Hurtza means the korban is considered acceptable insofar as the owner can eat from the meat. And if it's b'mezid, b'shogeg means something was unwitting. As far as what exactly was unwitting was done by error, that's a separate machlokas. Is it a reference to the blood's becoming, its initial becoming tamei, or the actual Zrikas Adam? But let's leave that aside for now. If it's unwitting, then it's hortza, bemezid, lo hortza. If it's done bemezid, so it's not maratze. What's important for us right now is just what we dashed underline, dam shenitma. What do we see? We see that the mashkin are mekabel tuma, the dam being an example of a mashkin. The Gemara answers midrabanan. What we see here is a din derabanan that the dam can be mekabel tuma. That's only rabbinic. Udalo Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish treda. Contrary to what he has said, in other words, there are people that argue, there are deos that argue with him, so that this dea and this source is not like Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer, because according to him, the Rabbonon did not impose any gzeira on mashkin base mitbochaya. But this source is holding other than that, that rabbinically, the dam, which represents mashkin, can become tame, but midoraisa, there is no tumas mashkin. And that is what Rav was saying. Rav, when he spoke about mashkin not being mekabel tuma whatsoever, he said that is the case on a Torah level. Toshma, we have another Tanaic source, and it features the tzitz. The tzitz is the golden headplate that the Kohen Godol wore in the Beis HaMikdash, and this golden headplate, in addition to the fact that it was one of the big day kahuna, it also has atonement capacity, or a certain element of cleansing abilities with regard to what. So let's go on in the Gemara and see a little more about this. Halma hatzitz meratze, what does the tzitz atone for? Atone for is a function of where you had some problem had arisen, and the tzitz solves the problem. So in this case, the tzitz is enabling a korban, that a specific problem arose and enables the korban to be acceptable. So al ma tzitz meratze al hadam v'al abosar v'al achelev shenitma, it can atone for the blood of a sacrifice that became tome, or the meat or the fats that became tome, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'oinis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yochid, bein b'tzibur, whether it happened unwittingly or knowingly, whether it's on a private level or a public level. For our purposes, even though Rashi elaborates quite a bit more than we are explaining things, for our purposes, what we see, we focus on the dashed underlining. The dam had become tame. The blood was eventually sprinkled. The sacrificial blood was sprinkled, and the korban was seen to be accepted. That's, we'll say, a side point for right now. But the main point is the dam had become tame. That's a kasha on Rav. Rav said there's no tumas mashkin whatsoever. The Gemara answers midrabanan. The blood is said to have become tame on a purely rabbinic level, and Rav can accept that. Obviously, he's answering these questions. Rav's original comment that mashkin are not mekabel tuma, he was speaking on a Torah level. They're not mekabel tuma. The rabbanan imposed their ability to be mekabel tuma. Udalo Ki Yosef ben Yozer ish treda. This source again is not like Rabbi Yosef ben Yozer ish treda, because according to him, when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash and the blood found there, there's no tuma whatsoever, even midrabanan. Toshma, we have another Tanaic source. It opens with a pasuk, and it parallels very much that which we saw in the previous source regarding the tzitz. The pasuk describes the tzitz and what it atones for, and it says, "V'nosa Aaron es avoin hakodashim." Aaron represents the Kohen Gadol, and he bears the sin of the sacrifices. Now, what does that mean? He bears the sin, and he atones for it. And when we say he atones for it, we're referring to the tzitz, the fact that he has a tzitz, that he's wearing the tzitz, or that there is a tzitz, and the tzitz is exclusively the the raiment of the Kohen Gadol. What sin is it? What problem is it that the tzitz solves? If you are to suggest it's a reference to the pigol problem, which is a case of a korban that was processed with a wrongful intention that has to do with the eating it or doing something with regard to the korban outside of the Azara, outside of its place. That's called chutz l'mekomo. Well, if a sacrifice was slaughtered with, the intention to eat the meat outside its ordained place, well, that's not atoned for by the tzitz. Hare kvar ne'amar, the pasuk says, lo yeroseh. It's an unacceptable korban. Im avon noisar, if the tzitz is meratzeh for the sin of wrongful time thoughts, noisar. Here, Rashi explains that the word noser is not the classical use of the word noser, but rather it's a machshav of chutz lizmanoi. So if you're suggesting that the tzitz is meratzeh for a korban that was done with a machshav of chutz lizmano, harei kvar ne'amar lo yechoshev, the pasuk says it will not be acceptable. So what is the tzitz atoning for? Ha eino noisei elo avoin tuma shehutra michlola. But Tzibor, the tzitz is able to atone for tuma problems, being that tuma has a certain element of leniency to it, in that there's a precedent for korbanos being processed lichatchila when the tzibor is tome. In other words, when you have a situation of, let us just say, for example, all the kohanim are tome, even though, in general, an individual Kohen, if he's Tomei, he is not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. If all the Kohanim are Tomei, that's called Tzibor. And Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, as the source says, that Hutra Michlola, Michlola is the rule that Tuma generally is forbidden, as far as a processing in a state of Tuma. Nevertheless, if the tzibur is tamei, so we allow the avodah space image to take place, even though they are tamei. So, my love, tumas dam. In this source, it says that it's meratzeh for the avon tuma. Well, what was tamei? What was tamei? Is it not the blood that became tamei? And that is a question on Rav. Omar Rav Popo Loi. Tumas kimotzim. The tzitz is meratzeh for tuma that may have befallen the handful of meal offerings. Kimotzim is the plural of the word komets. Komets is a handful of a meal offering that is taken from a bowl containing flour and other ingredients possibly that are relevant to a meal offering. And that handful is put on the mizbeach. If it became tamei, the remainder of the mincha, of the meal offering, it's called a korban mincha, will be able to be eaten, will be considered acceptable. So the tzitz is meratzeh for tumas kmotzim. But as far as tumas dam, you don't need the tzitz to meratzeh for that, according to Rav, because it never became tamei in the first place. Ta shma. Notice that this Toshma lasts a number of lines. It takes us to the top line of Yud Zayin Omid Aleph. The Gemara quotes once again a Pasuk, and this Pasuk is a long Pasuk. It lasts four lines. And a little bit of background might be necessary here, and that is that upon the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the prophet Haggai was one of the last prophets, one of the few prophets that lived into the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And during the exile in Golus Bavel, during that exile, a lot of halacha was forgotten, especially if you're 70 years not working in the Beis HaMikdash, so a lot of information could be forgotten. So the prophet was testing the Kehanim regarding laws that have relevance to the Beis HaMikdash, and more specifically Tumah-related halachas. So in this pasuk we we see that's the background for appreciating the test that we now see. The pasuk says, "Hein yisa ish basar kodesh bechnaf bigdoi, v'noga bechnafoi el halechem vel hanozid vel hayayin vel hashemen vel kol maichol hayikdash." We'll go over the pasuk a little slower. The Novi is asking, could it be, would it be that if a person has in his, literally in his garment, a sheretz, a dead sheretz. A sheretz is referred to here as one of those, one of the eight shrotzim that are referred to in the Torah, that when they are dead, they communicate tumah, and their level of tumah is called an av hatumah, primary level of tumah. So the pasuk describes someone holding a sheretz, and the sheretz touches bread. And the bread touches nozid. Nozid is some type of cooked dish. And that touches some wine. And that's the yayin. And the wine comes into contact with the shemes. So if you keep track of things here, you're starting with the sheretz. That's an avatuma. It touches the bread. That would be a rishon. And the bread touches the nozid, making the nozid a sheni. The nozid touches the wine, making it a shlishi. And the wine touches the oil, making it a ravi. And the pasuk goes on to say the el kol ma'achol hayikdash means or any other food. Hayikdash means would it become tamei? In other words, the fourth level, the fourth item in the fourth level tumah question is very simply: is there a revi b'kodesh? Vayanu hakayinim vayomru lo. And the kohenim answered, and they said, no, there is no tumah. The Omar Rav. Rav himself, the irony here is that Rav himself says, Ishtabish Kahani. The Kahanim made a mistake. In other words, they said there is no Tumah, when in fact there is Tumah. So we see here, Mashkin Beis Mitbuchaya are Makabel Tumah. And that's not like Rav. Not like Rav, meaning the original Rav comment that said, when Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Treda says that the Mashkin Beis Mitbuchaya are Dochein, Rav said Dochein Mamish. They're literally Tahor. And here we see the Kehanim, having been described the wine and the oil here as not becoming Tomei, and they are making a mistake. They do become Tomei. So the Gemara answers, Midi hu taimo elo l'rav. Is it not so that this whole discussion is focusing on Rav? In other words, Rav said that the mashkin are tohor, and here we're showing evidence that the mashkin are tomei. Sumor says there's no problem. Rav mashki base mit bochaya toni, avo mashki base mid bochaya mitame. Here's a totally new take on Rav. Rav was not, he never was saying across the boards all mashkin are tahor. In other words, when Rav made his comment on the heels of Yosef ben Yoezer, who said that mashkin beis mitbuchaya are dochein, we have to be very careful, as one letter makes all of the difference. Rav was explaining Rav Yosef ben Yoezer in the context of Mashkin Beis Mit Bochaya. You see the test is squiggle underlined in our Gemara. That's Mit Bochaya, is like the word Beis HaMit Bochayim. It's a slaughtering area. What liquids are found in a slaughtering area? Well, you have blood and water. Regarding blood and water, Rav said those are Tohor. That means from the Mido Raisa, there's no Tumah for blood and water. However, regarding Mashki Beis Midbochaya, the word Midbochaya is spelled with a Dalid. The Dalid and the Zion interchange so that you could read that same word as Mizbeach. What liquids have relevance to the Mizbeach? Well, oil, because it appears in a mincha, in a meal offering, and wine, part of the Nische Yain, the wine libations. Those liquids, Mitame, are subject to Tuma. And if you look carefully at the pasuk that was raised as a kasha on Rav, it was wine and oil that was raised as a kasha. And the Novi had asked, does the wine and oil become tamei? The Kohanim said no, and then Rav said, no, they made a mistake. And in fact, that is what Rav says, that wine and oil are subject to being mekabel tuma, and that the original comment of Yosi ben Yoezer, that mashkin beis mit bochayer dochein, that's only mit bochayer with a tes, but mit bochayer are subject to tuma. Hence, this too is no question on Rav. Rav originally, again, we're just repeating ourselves, Rav's original comment was restricted to the mashkin base mit bochaya with a tes, but as far as mashkin base mit bochaya with a dalid, they are subject to tumah. Before we sign off, let's just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.